So with Rosh Chodesh El, today is Rosh Chodesh El. With Rosh Chodesh El begins the path, the journey towards the Yam Narayim. I mentioned this yesterday in Yeshiva. It's a very, very interesting thing. The Yeshiva is starting Masechta Rosh Hashanah now. And tomorrow is Aleph El. The first day of the Zman is tomorrow. Tomorrow is Aleph El. And they're going to be learning the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which talks about Echad Be'elul. It's an interesting thing. That Mishnah discusses Echad Be'elul, the first day of Elul. So what does the Mishnah say about the first day of Elul? The Mishnah says, Be'echad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah l'maiser behema, Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon Oimrim Be'echad B'tishrei. The first day of Elul is Rosh Hashanah for Maiser behema. Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Shimon say it's the first day of Tishrei. Ma'aser behema means that every tenth animal that's born in a person's flocks, in a person's possession, becomes kodesh. A person is makdish it, and has to be brought to the Beis Hamikdash and eaten like a shlamim by the Yerushalayim. So every tenth animal becomes kodesh. That's ma'aser behema. If a person has 10 animals born last year, so he owes an animal to the Beis Hamikdash. He's not allowed to take an animal that's born this year to be yaitza the miser of last year. Or if a person owes miser from this year, he's not allowed to take one of last year's animals and give it for this year. You can't be ma'aser from one year on to the other. When does the year start? How do you know when to draw the line? At what point is one year over and the next year begin? So that's what the Mishnah says. The first day of Elul is Rosh Hashanah for ma'aser behema, that we start a new cheshbon, a new counting of the year, that from here on any animals is the next year's. Rabbi Elazar and Rav Shimon say it's the first day of Tishrei. The Gemara brings Pesukim. It's interesting, I realize over Shabbos, it's interesting that there's a remez, I think it's a little bit merumez in the parsha that we read yesterday, in last week's parsha, which is commonly read on Rosh Chodesh Elul or right before Rosh Chodesh Elul, is that it says on him, Aser to Aser is called Tvua Zaracha. It says you should give Maaser from all of your crops. And the Gemara says, why does it say you should give Maaser twice? It says Aser to Aser. So some of the Midrashim are very famous, but the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Aser to Aser, Bishnei Maaseris Hakos of Medaber. The Pasuk is talking about two Maaseris. One is the Maaser of your crops, and the other is the Maaser of your animals. One is Maaser Behema. So you see that in the parsha that we read right before, Echad Be'elul, there's a remez to Ma'aser Behema. And the Mishnah says, Echad Be'elul, it's Rosh Hashanah, the Ma'aser Behema. When the Rabbeinu Shlomo writes in his Torah that something happens on the first day of Elul, and we know that for us, the first day of Elul is such an important day, or according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, even more so on the first day of Tishrei, it can't just be that it's a side coincidental thing. That besides the beginning of Elul being a time to start doing tshuva, or besides the Rosh Hashanah being a day of judgment, also, if you're a farmer, there's something you have to know, it's Rosh Hashanah l'maaser behema. There must be something in the premise of this Mishnah, there must be some message here, that we learn from the fact that in the mitzvah of maaser behema starts on the first day of Elul, or the first day of Tishrei, depending on which Tana in the Mishnah. Next week's parasha is Parashat Shoftim. I want to talk a little bit about the mitzvah of appointing a king that's discussed in Parashat Shoftim. It says, I'm going to just read the Pesukim so we should have some idea of what the Pesukim say about appointing a king, and then we'll talk about what the mitzvah is all about. When you come into the land that Hashem gives you, v'yirishta, and you inherit it, v'yoshavta bo, and you settle in it, v'yomarta, and you will say, asimo alai melech, I'd like to appoint a king upon myself, kechol hagoyim asher sevivoy, so like all the nations around me, all the nations have a king, and I'd like to have a king too. So Hashem says, if that's what you say, so soim tasim alecho melech, you should place a king upon you, asher yivcha Hashem alekecha boi, whom Hashem has chosen. The Navi tells us which is the right king. Mikarav achecha, from amongst your brothers, can't be a guy. Mikarav achecha tasim alecho melech, from amongst your brothers you should appoint a king over you. Loisucha loseis alecho ish nachri, you can't place upon you a guy, a strange person, asher lo yachicha, who's not your brother. Rak, now we have a warning to the king. Lo yarbe lo yisusim, he should not have too many horses. V'lo yoshev esa'om mitzrayimah, so that the nation, they used to, Egypt used to be a big horse exporter. So you see, so that the nation shouldn't return to Mitzrayim l'man harbo yisus, in order to get a lot of horses. V'Hashem omar lechem lo yisayisifun lo shuvah derech hazeoid. Hashem said, don't go back to Egypt. V'lo yarbe lo yinashim, and he shouldn't have a lot of wives. V'lo yosur levovay, and his heart shouldn't be swayed. V'kesef v'zov lo yarbe lo yima'oid, and he should not have a lot of gold and silver. It's probably the only king in the world that's warned not to have too much gold and silver as a Jewish king. And it will be when he sits on his royal throne. He should write for himself a Torah. Al sefer on a sefer milufnei kohanim halavim, in front of the kohanim. And this sefer Torah that he writes, v'hoisa ima, it should be with him. V'kara by kol yimechayim, and he should learn this Torah his entire life. L'man yilmat, so that he should learn l'yira es Hashem aleikav, to fear Hashem, lishmar es kol divrei ha-Torah hazois, to keep the whole Torah, v'yesachukim ha-eila la-asoisem, and to keep all the laws of the Torah. L'vilti rum l'vavoy me'echov, so he shouldn't be a balgaiva, he shouldn't think he's better than anybody else. The king can't think he's better than anybody else. U'levilti sur min ha-mitzvah yom min usman, he shouldn't sway from the right, from Hashem's commandments, not to the right and not to the left. Laman yarech yomim al mamlachtos, he should live a long life on his watch and his kingdom. Hu ubanav bekerav Yisrael, him and his children amongst Klal Yisrael. That's the mitzvah of a melech. A few questions on this. Firstly, appointing a king is not voluntary. If you look at the Rishayim, appointing a king is a mandatory thing. When we get into Eretz Yisrael and we'll settle down in Eretz Yisrael, we are commanded to appoint a king. It's mandatory. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. But the pasuk doesn't say it that way. The pasuk says it as if, like, if you'll be in Eretz Yisrael and you'll say, "I want a king," fine, you can have one. That's the way it says it. If you kisav, when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you say, "Osimu alai melech." Oh, you like a king? Okay, fine. Soim tasim alecha melech. It says it as if it was your idea. It's not. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's idea. We need a king. Why does it express it that way? There are many, many leaders in Klal Yisrael. The king is just one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. There's the Navi, in those days where there was Nevuah. There's the Sanhedrin, the Av Bezdin. There are very many prominent leaders in Klal Yisrael. But dafka by the king, we find this tremendous hadgasha, this tremendous arichas. The pasuk goes through in detail how the king has to be so careful that he shouldn't be drawn into a world of physical pleasures. Don't have a lot of horses, don't have a lot of wives, don't have a lot of gold and silver. Every leader has to be careful about these things. And yet we find in the psukim specifically, the Torah seems to be the most worried about the melech. The melech is just one of the people in the government of Klal Yisrael. But the king is the one that the pasuk is ma'irich. Nashim, kesef, zav. What's the sakana of the job of king more than the job of Av Bezdin, let's say? And finally, it's only on the king that he has it. Again, all the other leaders of Klal Yisrael, you don't find him, you have to walk around with the Sefer Torah. It's an unbelievable thing. He has to walk around with the Sefer Torah. Why doesn't the Av Bezdin have to walk around with the Sefer Torah? Why doesn't the Navi, the Yeshaya HaNavi, Yirmiyah HaNavi, why didn't he have to walk around with the Sefer? He's also a leader of Klal Yisrael. Only the Melech has to walk around the Hoysa Imai, the Korah by Kol Yimechayev. Rashi says there were two Sefer Torah, one he kept at home, one he kept with him. He had a small Sefer Torah he always kept with him. Why did he have to always have a Sefer Torah with him? It should be with him. In case he quickly has to look something up, it's like a funny thing. Like, carry your library with you in case, you know, and today would be easy. You know, we could have it all soon we'll have it all on the cell phone. We'll be able to bring up whatever tshuvas we want. Mr. Brewer. Oh, yeah? Let's get back to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we know, is a day of judgment. It's a Yom HaDin. Let's examine for a few minutes what is it about Rosh Hashanah that makes it a Yom HaDin. Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah. The world was created on the 25th day of Elul, and on Rosh Hashanah was the 6th day of creation. Adam was created. It works. Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah. The creation of Adam, with the creation of Adam, a Nivra was created that was unique in the entire universe. There's no creation as unique as Adam. Because until man was created, there were two types of creations. There was physical creations, and there were spiritual creations. Behemoth, Chayas, Oifus, all the creatures, the grass, the trees, all the creatures that, and creations that fill our world, they're physical. They're physical Nivroim. Also before the 6th day, Malachim, and whatever else is in Shemayim, Ruchais, whatever else is up there, was also created. Ruchniyistika things were created. Until Adam was created, there was no such a thing as a creation that's melded together, woven together, the physical and the spiritual in one being, in one creation. That's a unique thing that only existed with the creation of Adam. And with that unique creation came a very unique responsibility. Our job is not just to enhance the spiritual part of ourselves, but our job is to take the spiritual and to use it to bring up, to be mekadesh, to lift up the physical. By doing mitzvahs, by learning Torah, by involving ourselves in the physical world with the right purpose, we sanctify the physical world, and we sanctify our physical selves, and we sanctify the physical world. Animals don't have that responsibility because they don't have a spiritual side. They're just physical. Malachim don't have that responsibility because they don't have a physical side. Only Adam has that responsibility. He has a spiritual side and a physical side. That uniqueness gives him the unique responsibility that the spiritual side has to inspire and bring up and sanctify his physical side. All that was created on Rosh Hashanah. And every year on Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of our creation. In many businesses, when someone's hired, after he's there for a year, they call him in, and they review the year. And they make comments and so on. It's a common thing in many, many businesses. The idea is that when I hired you, I had something in mind. And now that you're here for a while, let me compare what is with what was supposed to be. Sometimes it can exceed the expectation, sometimes it can be less, sometimes it could just turn out differently. But someone who's running a business in an intelligent way compares what his plan was with what actually happened. Let's compare it. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does on Rosh Hashanah. It was all of the machshava HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create an Adam with a certain job, a unique creation, with a unique responsibility. Okay, now it's the anniversary of the creation of Adam. Let me take my picture of what I had in mind. Let me take my picture of what is, and let me compare them. If the comparison is good, if what is matches what I had in mind, so you can stay hired for another year. If, chas v'shalom, what exists does not match what I had in mind, you have to find yourself another job. That's the din of Rosh Hashanah. So Hashem looks at us on Rosh Hashanah and says, are we using the Ruchnias to inspire the Gashmias? Are we using our neshama to be Makadosh our guf instead of using our guf to bring down our neshama? An example in history, and it's because of current events, is very much in our mind, an example in history where Hashem decided that man was not fulfilling his unique responsibilities was the Mabul. The time of the Mabul, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, La'yadun ruchi ba'adam. My spirit will not remain with man. He's done. I'm going to bring a flood. Bishagamhu basar, because he is flesh. Of course man is flesh. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, he's just flesh. I can't find a neshama in there. He's abandoned his neshama. He's just like an animal. He's just dealing, if you look on the Ramban there, that's the way the Ramban explains it. He's just dealing with his guf. A flood. Wiped out, obliterated. There's no more Adam. Nichamti ki yasisim, I changed my mind. This is not the Adam that I had in mind. Elul. Elul is the time that we take the first step. We don't just wait till Rosh Hashanah, until the king is in the throne room, and say, oh, we've got to get our act together. We're intelligent. Ezehu chacham harayas anoylet. We're intelligent people. And we realize that Rosh Hashanah is coming. So already a month before, we're makdim. That's why the Rosh Hatevis of Elul is ani ledoidi v'doidi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. First, I go to him. I don't wait for him to come to me. Ani ledoidi, I go to him, and then he comes to me. That's Elul. The Elul is we wake up before the shofar of Rosh Hashanah wakes us up. We'd like the shofar of Elul to wake us up. That's what Elul is all about. That's Ma'aseh Behemah. Ma'aseh Behemah is an animal that by making it Kaddosh, I sanctify an animal. I sanctify a Behemah. We also have a Behemah inside of us. We have a part of ourselves that's Ruchnius, and we have part of ourselves that's Behemah. And our job in life is to sanctify the Behemah, Ma'aseh Behemah. So there's a Machlokes in the Mishnah when the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aseh Behemah is. Is the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aseh Behemah on Rosh Hashanah? On our Yom HaDin, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say it's on Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aseh Behemah, because the whole din of Rosh Hashanah is, have you succeeded in bringing up the physical? That's your unique role as a man, to use the spiritual to sanctify the physical. So that's hinted to the fact that the Rosh Hashanah is in Elul. The Tanakama, who's Reb Meir, if you look in the Mishnah in Bechayrus, it's Reb Meir, he says, no, it's a month earlier, it's Echad Be'el, when it all begins. At the source, but when Klal Yisrael starts getting their act together, that's the beginning of Ma'aseh Behemah. And Reb Meir is the one with the Gemara in Erevin says on Reb Meir that he's Royes Hanoilat. He sees what's going to be. He sees into the future what's going to be. So Reb Meir holds that even already on Echad Be'elul, he already sees Rosh Hashanah L'Ma'aseh Behemah. So that's Rosh Hashanah, and that's the month before of Elul. It's our Avodah. If you want to know what our Avodah is summed up in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, and no one thinks about our Elul when they read that Mishnah. First Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Be'echad Be'elul, Rosh Hashanah L'Ma'aseh Behemah, it's talking to us. Echad El is a Rosh Hashanah, B'Ma'aseh Behemah, we have to start examining ourselves. Are we being Makadosh the Behemah? Are we sanctifying the physical? Are we bringing it up? Are we being involved in spiritual endeavors? One of the highest madrigas of sanctifying the physical is when not only we listen to what Hashem commands us to do. Hashem commands me to use my arm to wear tefillin. So that's sanctifying the physical. I take my physical arm, flesh and blood. If I didn't have a physical arm, I couldn't do that mitzvah. Thankfully, Hashem gave me a physical arm, and I'm able to do the mitzvah of tefillin. I'm able to sanctify my arm. I'm able to sanctify my head, and so on with every mitzvah. But an even higher level, in a certain sense, is when I take things that there are no mitzvah about. That's what we call divrei rishus. I take things that there's no mitzvah. Eating breakfast. It doesn't say anywhere on Sunday morning eat breakfast. It's not a shulchan aruch. Eating is not, it's not a mitzvah or an avera. It's eating. Shabbos, eating is a mitzvah. On Yom Kippur, eating is an avera. But the rest of the year, eating is eating. It's divrei rishus. Sleeping. And a large part of what we do during the day, a large percentage of what we do during the day falls into the category of divrei rishus. It's not aser. It's not a mitzvah. It's life. Divrei rishus. Someone who's able to sense the way Hashem would like him to spend his divrei rishus, that's the ultimate in sanctifying the physical. That's the ultimate in bringing up the mundane. That not just that when Hashem says, do this with the physical, I listen to it, but I have a sense of what Hashem wants me to use the physical for without even being told. That's in a certain sense, a more sensitive level of it, of sanctifying the physical of bringing Kedusha to Chulin. On Shabbos, I know I'm supposed to eat, and I know what I'm supposed to eat. But during the week, I'm not told anything about what I'm supposed to eat and not supposed to eat. For me to have a sense of what the will of Hashem is, and to do it for the purpose of serving Hashem, v'chol derachecha da'ehu, to be close to Hashem in all our ways, not just in what the Torah says, but v'chol derachecha da'ehu, which is the Makor of Kol Ma'asecha Yehu L'Shem Shamayim, that's the unique, unique experience of turning Divrei Rishus into Kedusha. When I'm eating now because I have to serve Hashem today, and I have a job, I have to serve Hashem, and in order to do that job I have to eat, or even when I work, even when I do business, because Hashem put me in this world for a reason, and I have a job to do in this world, and in order to facilitate my job in this world, I need to have a parnasa. When that's the reason I'm doing it, I take this mundane thing called parnasa, and it's a very mundane thing, and I make it into an avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm doing it for the purpose of serving Hashem. I'm setting myself up in business. I'm eating. I'm sleeping. I'm even going on vacation, even when I have a good time. I'm doing it for the purpose of setting myself up to be a successful, competent Oved Hashem. That's my ultimate goal. That's my purpose. That's sanctifying my whole world of Divrei Rishus. That's Maaser Behema. That's taking the Behema part of my life, the Divrei Rishus, the physical part of my life, and being Mekadosh for the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm doing it for the right purpose. I'm doing it with the right focus in mind. All of that is represented in the King of Klal Yisrael. I'm sure Yehuda has heard this from me already a few times. The Drashas Haran that I heard from my Rosh Shiva also many times. A very, very big yisayin in understanding the Inyan of a Melech. And really, I was kind of dancing around it when I asked the questions about a king. Because if you have an Av Beis Din, you have the head of the Beis Din, what do you need a king for? And if you have a king, what do you need an Av Beis Din for? What are the different roles here of the different people in Klal Yisrael? And the Ran says, when we think about it, it seems almost obvious, that the Beis Din HaGadol, their job is to deal with the spirituality of Klal Yisrael, to make takanas, to judge dinim, to make siyogim, all these things. They're the people in charge of making sure that the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael is the way it's supposed to be. The king's job is to run the physical, the Divrei Rishus of Klal Yisrael, where and when to build a bridge, where and when to expand, how big should the army be, how high should taxes be, when to go to war, all of that is Divrei Rishus. That's the job of the Melech. That's the Melech's job. His job is to do the regular, mundane, the job of the president. He has to run the country. And this is not a chiddush of the Ran. The truth is it's the Feirush in the Pasuk. Because he says, when you say, I like a king, kechol hagoyim asher sevivoisei, like all the nations that surround me. Beis Din is not like all the nations that surround me, because all the nations that surround me don't have a Torah. But building bridges, that all the nations around me have to do. Going to war, that all the nations around me have, and they do, have to do. I need a king like all the nations to do the regular stuff that everyone does. That's the purpose of a king. Kechal Agayim. But the king that's a servant of Hashem, Asher Yivchar Boy Hashem, the king that's a servant of Hashem, he's not just, I'm the mundane leader over here. Beis Din is the spiritual leader, I'm the mundane leader. It's not that way. The king has to have a very sensitive heart, because he doesn't have the benefit of Shulchan Aruch to tell him what Hashem wants. He has to know, does Hashem want me to raise taxes or lower taxes? Does Hashem want me to build a bridge? Does Hashem want me to make the army bigger or smaller? Does Hashem want me to go to Milchama? And there's no place to turn to ask that question. He has to turn to his hashkafa, his connection with Hashem, and his sensitivity to the Ratzon Hashem. Just like in our lives, in the area where there's no Shulchan Aruch, like Sunday morning breakfast, we have to be a little bit more sensitive. What is the Ratzon Hashem? That's what a melech is all about. The melech represents where we're not given specific direction, but we have to be sensitive to what's right. That's why the way it's expressed in the Torah, appointing a king, is as if it's Divrei Rishus, as if it's not a commandment. If you'll be in Eretz Yisrael and you'll say, I'd like a king, appoint a king. We have to have a king, it's a mitzvah. But it's said as if it's Divrei Rishus, as if it's something that we just decide on our own, to give us a hint of what the essence of a king is. The essence of a king is that his ear, what he represents to us, is directing where you're not told what to do. You have to come up with the idea on your own. And you'll say, I'd like a king. I came up with the idea on my own. That's the broad area of life where there's not clear directions given. There's no instruction manual. How should I run my business? How should I eat lunch? How should I talk to my children? There's no clear instruction manual. It's something that I have to be sensitive to the Ratzon Hashem. Now we understand it's obvious that he's the one who's most susceptible to the enticements of the physical world. The Beis Din, their whole involvement is in Ruchnius. We don't have to tell them, don't marry a lot of wives. Their involvement is in the Ruchniyistic world, but the king, his whole involvement is in the physical world. His involvement is Kechol HaGoyim. His involvement is in the mundane. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. He has to channel the mundane to reflect the will of Hashem and make it no longer mundane. So on him it says, you shouldn't have a lot of wives, don't have a lot of gold and silver. Watch out. The physical world is just here to serve the spiritual. There's nothing inherently valuable about gold and silver. Only what I can do with it. Positive. That's what's valuable about it. And that's why he, of all people, needs to walk around with the Sefer Torah. His life is much more confusing than the life of the Av Beis Din. The Av Beis Din is involved constantly in the pursuit of Ruchnius and Torah. But the king, he's dealing with heads of state, with politics, with political parties, with who knows what he's dealing with. But the mundane world, he has to have that constant chizuk, that all of this has one purpose, and that is that Klal Yisrael should be best situated to be able to fulfill the Torah. That's what I'm here for. I may be sitting here deciding a treaty about a canal or a bridge or a trade agreement. That may be what I'm sitting here doing, but I'm sitting here with my Sefer Torah. Because the whole purpose of this physical involvement is for that Torah. The king is the one who needs that constant involvement. The Ramban says, al derech ha'emes, and we know that we never really can understand what the Ramban means when he says al derech ha'emes means in truth, but he really means a very, 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 very deep truth that we don't really have a shaychus to. But I'll just read the words. V'hoysa imoy, the Ramban says, ha'toyra atzmoy tiye imoy. It's not just that the Sefer Torah, the scroll of the Torah should be with him. The Torah is saying that the essence of the Torah should be with him. It says that we appoint a king and tell him to write a Torah, and the essence, the pnimius, the hashkafa, the flavor of the Torah, HaTorah Atzma, should be with him. That's the special azhara for a king, because he's not dealing with the Torah. But that's the secret, he really is. He really is, because everything that he's doing that may seem so distant from the Torah, it really has one purpose in mind, and that's Kiyum HaTorah. Coming to a Rosh Hashanah and preparing ourselves for a Rosh Hashanah, it's important to question ourselves about focus, because everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has a Yetzirah. Everybody's year is a series of aliyahs and yiridahs. We hope there are more aliyahs than yiridahs. We hope we can patch up the yiridahs. But everybody's year is a series of aliyahs and yiridahs. When Hashem is looking at one picture, and he's comparing it to the other picture, the employee might have made mistakes over the year. But if he knows and understands his job, if he's dealing with his job, and he has in mind with his job what I wanted him to do, he can keep going. Everybody makes mistakes. But he knows his job, he knows his business. He knows what he's here for. But if he hasn't got a clue what I hired him for, so then there's no hope for this man. If you look at the Mabul came because it says, V'chol yetzer machshavos liboy, all man was thinking of was rak rak kol hayom. They were just thinking about evil. They weren't even fighting the battle. They threw in the towel. They weren't fighting the battle anymore. If you're not dealing with the neshama at all, that's not an adam. But if I'm struggling, my guf is pulling me in one direction, my neshama is pulling me in another direction, I'm struggling the struggle, and I stand in front of Hashem and Rosh Hashanah and I say, I may not be perfect. I may have failed, but you know what I've been dealing with all year? I've been dealing with my unique responsibilities as an Adam. I know my job. My job is Maisa Behema. My job is to sanctify the physical. My job is that even my Divrei Rishus should be pointed towards Kedusha. That's my job. And I understand that job. And it's a struggle. I have ups and I have downs. There's twists and there's turns. The Yetzer Hara is very, very clever, and sometimes he caught me. But I know my job. If we can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu we know our job, if we can think about the whole focus of our future and try to focus at least the general focus of our future towards fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem, so then we can be assured that as we come into Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, you're hired for another year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.